Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Thank you for joining us on the program. Everyone remembers spending a day at the beach as a child collecting seashells. But what if those shells were more than just pretty objects? What if those shells could actually tell you something about your hidden thoughts, beliefs, and attitude? Michelle Hansen has devoted her life to studying the language of shells. After many years of interpreting seashells for family and friends, Michelle's success led her to this unique talent and to take it to the public. She's also created a program to teach seashell divination to others. Michelle is the author of Ocean Wisdom, Lessons from the Seashell Kingdom. It teaches about the mysteries of the ocean and unlocks the mysteries of self through the study of seashells. She's also the creator of Ocean Oracle, What Seashells Reveal About Our True Nature, a bridge to learning the secret language. And Michelle Hansen, called the ambassador from the Seashell Kingdom, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
I'm looking forward to this. I talk about kids going out gathering. I still do. Whenever we get to the ocean, it's like we come back with a bag full of seashells. I didn't realize there were any more than just pretty objects. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today. Ocean Wisdom, first published in 2007, and you thought maybe that was ahead of its time, a little bit too early. Why do you think now is the time that Ocean Wisdom will resonate with the audience?
Well, as you mentioned, a lot of people have loved shells all over the world, but they may not realize every shell is made by an animal. The animal is called a mollusk. So a clam mollusk makes a clam shell and a snail mollusk makes a snail shell. Now, my students were very surprised to learn that the octopus is also a mollusk. Fossil evidence shows it used to have a shell. And the reason I believe that things have shifted is because when I first wrote Ocean Wisdom, the public reaction to the octopus is this is something to be feared, something to avoid. We had evil, the evil octopus of the Little Mermaid. And we also had the villains in the Pirates of the Caribbean. So there were all these images of tentacles emerging from the ocean to terrorize ships. Now, fast forward to today. We have a book called The Soul of the Octopus by Cy Montgomery. We have a Netflix documentary called My Octopus Teacher, Craig Foster. And those are two factual accounts of humans relating to the octopus in wonderful ways. We also have the fictitious Remarkably Bright Creatures, very popular these days, by Shelby Van Pelt. And that's a story that takes place in an aquarium where the narrator offers astute observations about the visitors to the aquarium and the employees. And that insightful narrator is Marcellus, the aquarium's octopus. So look at that transition. We go from something to be feared to being respected for its intelligence and even the potential to be a teacher. There is now an online fan club for the octopus. It's called Octonation. It's got 800,000 members.
Wow.
That's the shift in mindset. That's why if the octopus is also a mollusk, I believe all these people who are clamoring for information about the octopus these days would welcome the information about its relatives, the rest of the seashell kingdom, and the guidance they have to offer us in navigating through life.
I think you're right. It sounds like the time is right. This is a good time to get this information out there. People taking a different look at some of the things that they feared over the years, like you said, with the octopus. That book is Ocean Wisdom. That's one of two by Michelle. I'll give you information as we go through the program. Her website is oceanoracle.com, and we've got that up on our website. You can link on directly. Give us some evidence of intelligence in the seashell kingdom. People may be listening going, oh, they're shells. What can we learn from them? Give us a little bit, some examples of intelligence.
There are many, so let me share two.
Okay.
This is called a helmet conch.
Wow.
I'm going to show you. It's a pretty big shell.
Oh, yes.
Now, I read a story. The helmet conch was called that because someone thought it resembled the helmets of ancient warriors.
Yes.
Well, for me, that meant this is someone willing to fight for you. That was the idea behind the helmet cock. I read a story by Neville Coleman. He was the preeminent Australian marine biologist, where he witnessed three helmet cocks. Two were in this position, which is the way they need to be to get around. Their foot extends through this opening. So this is how they would travel to get food.
Oh, yes.
Now, the three that he saw were in a triangular position, about 16 feet apart from each other. Two of whom were in this position as they need to be. But one was on its side like this. Now, this one is in danger. It's exposed to any predator, or even if left alone, it can't go search for food. It would perish from starvation. And as he witnessed, the two coming from opposite directions traveled to the one in trouble. This could take hours. 16 feet is hours in snail time. But Neville was very patient, and he saw them approach the one in trouble. Then, like little bulldozers, they dug a furrow in the sand to loosen them up. And then they came around behind, climbed up, turned him over, and saved him.
Wow.
Now, I thought, first of all, they had to know a comrade was in trouble.
Oh, yes.
And they had to care. That's compassion. And then when they arrived at the scene, they had to figure out a plan to rescue him, and they did. That's intelligence. But the beauty of this story is that Neville was a marine biologist. He took pictures. And he granted me permission to use his pictures in Ocean Wisdom.
Ah, very good.
So,
evidence.
I want people to be able to witness it themselves. So here are the pictures in Ocean Wisdom.
Okay.
But I have a much larger version for today. So this is so you can witness
this
yourself.
Oh, yes, I can make everything out now. Yeah.
So here's the two making their way to the one in trouble. Here, they've loosened the sand, and they're coming around behind, and they're going to climb up, turn him over, and save him.
That's just amazing. It really is.
These are supposed to be lowly invertebrates with, as Neville said, pea-sized brains. But again, this demonstrates compassion and intelligence.
Yes. Take that, doubters. You just had some good evidence with that there. And by the way, the video version of this is up on YouTube. You can Google it. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and click on videos. It will take you to YouTube, and you'll be able to see what Michelle is showing us. That really is a remarkable example, isn't it? And it just happened to be a marine biologist there that understands
exactly
what's going on, had the patience to stay with her. That's an amazing story.
Now, here's another, just to show you more evidence of their intelligence. This is a harp shell. Again, I want you to see the animal. So in this picture, let's see, let me get it so
okay,
you can
the
see
corner.
It.
Yeah, that one right there.
There we go. You can see here are its eyes. Here's its breathing tube. And all of this is its foot. So it's got a massive foot. And that's attracting a crab. So the crab is going to be coming after the harp thinking, dinner for weeks. Look at all this food. The harp has the ability to detach a little bit of its foot. It's not a huge sacrifice. It'll regrow. But it's like a salamander that can drop its tail. So while the crab is coming after the harp, if it leaves that little morsel of foot, the crab is preoccupied. And the harp could get away. Now, that may not seem like intelligence because it's kind of programmed into their DNA, but the harp takes it one more step. While the crab is munching on that piece of its foot, the harp secretes mucus. Let's see. If you've ever seen a land snail, you might see that trail behind it, that slimy trail. That's to lubricate its path. And depending on what mollusk we're talking about, they use mucus in magical ways. So with the harp, while the crab is delighted to have that little piece of its foot, The harp secretes mucus and it mixes it with sand and it coats the crab. And the crab is oblivious because it's munching on that foot until all of a sudden the crab can't move. It's got all this sticky mucus all over it. And then once it's immobilized, the harp eats the crab. It completely turns the tables. So look at the strategy, the intelligence involved there. That's another example.
That's amazing. Our guest on the program is Michelle Hansen, telling you things you never knew, never even thought about with seashells. I mentioned in the beginning, maybe there's an impact they have on us. We can use them for the betterment of our lives. What behaviors provide guidance to help us navigate through our lives? And maybe you've already used this going through years. What do they do? What should we look for that they could be of benefit to us?
Okay, so when I wrote Ocean Oracle, that was my thought. And Ocean Oracle is a boxed kit. One of the components are these giant posters. It's got 200 shells on it. They're numbered 1 through 200. Every one of these shells has a message, and the messages come from the behaviors of the animals. For instance, we just saw the harp.
Yes.
Right here. And the helmet, which is, sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
Right here. What the idea is when someone looks at these posters, they try and see what shells get their attention. It could be, wow, that's beautiful. It could be, ooh, it bothers you in some way. Either way, it counts as long as it gets your attention. Ocean Oracle also comes with a deck of cards, and the cards are numbered to match the shells on the poster. So for instance, if the harp got your attention, and that's number 20, you would have the harp card from the deck.
Okay.
And the meaning of the harp on the back says the intended victim will be the victor. A complete reversal. Present sacrifice for future reward. And you can see now where that came from.
Oh, yes.
The helmet, number 20, says an ally, a champion on your behalf. And you saw how they rescued their comrade. So the meanings come from the behaviors of the animals, their name, their appearance, their anatomy. There's a lot of unique things about their anatomy, or how they've interacted with us throughout history. And that's the other component in the box. You get a book, a companion book, and it explains the meanings for all the shells. You can learn about them. Now, how this works for us is when you look at those posters and see what gets your attention, and you take out the cards, you arrange them any way you want. There is no wrong way. And then you simply turn over the cards and read the meanings on the back. And you can think of those as vocabulary words, and your arrangement tells you how to string those words together to get the sentences and the paragraphs of your message. Now, the intention is not to predict the future. The intention is to help you understand who you are in the present. It's a psychological tool because we have thoughts and beliefs that will kind of dictate what we create for ourselves. And at the conscious level, we can connect the dots. But we also have subconscious thoughts and beliefs impacting our lives behind the scenes. And you can't do anything about that if you don't know it's there. So what the shells do is bring to your awareness anything that may no longer be serving you. As Dr. Phil used to say, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So these shells facilitate your ability to acknowledge anything that may no longer be serving you, limiting you in some way.
Yes.
And that empowers you with options. For instance, the helmet cock. You saw it was someone willing to fight for you, a champion. Well, I said when people are looking at shells, sometimes the attention is, ooh, it bothers you. And many times that's what happens with the helmet cock. because if you look at back to ocean wisdom for a moment, you'll see the helmet cock often has people frightened by this giant mouth. It looks menacing to them.
Exactly, it does.
Now, this is the shell that means someone willing to fight for you. If it's troubling someone, that means someone they thought would be willing to fight for them let them down in a really big way. And that can shatter their ability to trust. So in Ocean Wisdom, Helmet Cock is about the lesson of trust. Because if you can't trust, it's very hard for you to delegate anything to anyone. That gives them the opportunity to let you down. Also, if anyone asks you to do anything, you immediately comply because you don't want to let anyone else down. So, if you're taking on every task and not delegating anything, eventually your standards may start to suffer. There's only so many hours in the day. But you weren't aware of why you were behaving this way. So Helmet Cock is saying it might be time to reevaluate your feelings around trust. And maybe you'll see there is someone you can delegate to. If that's the case, then you can spend more time doing the things you desire, and that will lead to a happier life. So the point of the reading is, let me show you what your hidden thoughts are. Is there anything that's not working for you? If so, you have options. And if you change a belief, you will change what you create.
That is amazing. And all of this, you'll find more information on Michelle's website. Michelle Hansen's website is oceanoracle.com. Ocean Oracle, I'm reading people will do it, take the cards and do that individually. They may do it as a group and get some people together and have a conversation, be an interesting conversation as you're going through all of that in a group of people. In all of the research you've done, have you seen ways where they actually have interacted, the seashells interacted with humans
yes.
throughout history?
Okay, so we have vocabulary words. People may not even realize this. The word purple, anyone whose favorite color is purple, you have this shell to thank. Now, I know it doesn't look like it would have anything to do with purple.
No.
But in ancient Phoenicia, they discovered that the mollusk, the animal that makes this shell, secretes a fluid that, when left in the sun, transitioned to what we would recognize as the color purple. And the important thing is, it would stain cloth and remain in that cloth. So this became one of the earliest dyes in history. The thing is, each animal only secretes a couple of drops. So it would take 1,000 of these just to make enough purple dye for 1 pound of cloth, which was very, very expensive. And only royalty could afford to wear that purple cloth. Now, someone got the bright idea. Why wait for the sun? That takes a long time. What if we boil them? That will speed up the process. And they were right. It did. But what they didn't count on is it also released like a horrific odor, so bad they had to locate the vats away from the town to make this dye. And now the person who's wearing the purple cloth has to afford perfume, which was prohibitively expensive in those days.
I can imagine, yes.
So only royalty could wear purple for a very long time. There's an expression, born to the purple. That means you're of royal lineage. And by the way, Phoenicia means, translated in Greek, land of the purple. So that's one way they've interacted with us in our vocabulary. Here is another shell. And I hope you can see shiny, glossy
it
is. This is called a cowrie. And if you felt the surface, it feels like someone polished it. But no one did. Here's the animal. If you see the white, that is the cowrie animal wrapped around the outside of its shell. That's how it would hang out all day if it were safe and feeding. If it's in danger, each half works its way down and then it tucks in underneath. So the reason that surface is so smooth is because you can see how delicate this tissue is. If there were any scratches or spines, it would tear the animal's body. So the cowrie is constantly laying down new shell material to keep that surface so smooth. Now, on the underside of the cowrie,
okay.
In ancient Rome, they saw this puckered slit, and they thought that resembled the genital tract of their sows, their female pigs. So they called the shell porcelana shell, because that means little pig. Then Marco Polo comes from China, and he's got this glazed pottery they've never seen before, but it looks like their porcelana shell. So they call the pottery porcelain. And if you look in the dictionary under the derivation of the word porcelain, it'll start to talk about the vulva of a sow, and you're going to say, what does that have to do with porcelain?
Yeah.
It's the connection to the cowrie. Now, fast forward in history, instead of just being connected to pigs, it broadened to the concept of the womb and to the goddess. And in Japan, women in labor are given one of these shells to grip because it's believed with that connection, it will facilitate the birth process.
Okay.
And they're called Koyasugai, which means peaceful child shell. And the meaning for this shell has to do with faith. Faith in the birth of anything. It doesn't have to be even physical birth. Faith in the birth of anything in your life. It's kind of like the womb to nurture the birthing process.
Just
so that's vocabulary.
Just amazing information that you have, and obviously years of research in putting this together that are reflected in Michelle's books, Ocean Oracle and Ocean Wisdom. It's just amazing. And you can get all the information at Michelle's website, oceanoracle.com. We have that link at our website. Go to thisweekinamerica.us. Go directly to Michelle's website. Applying that unique behavior, interactions with humans that we were talking about, what are some of the lessons covered in Ocean Wisdom? What are some of the lessons you talk about?
Well, there's many, many lessons. We talked about the idea that the harp had to do with sacrifice. Let me show you for 1 second. So here's a ton of shells. All of these have incredible master teachings. There's the harp. They cover topics like judgment, pride, feeling victimization, feeling special. And they have volumes to say about the topic of love. If I were to elaborate on that, and this is another reason why I think this is the right time. People now talk about love language. All the time I hear that.
Oh, yes.
When I wrote Ocean Wisdom back in the early 2000s, I had never heard of the love languages. But the shells taught me to think of love as an enormous wheel with many, many spokes. And each spoke is a way to give and receive love. So there is a spoke for love as attention, and love as quality time, and love as words of love, and love as generosity, all these different methods. And what happens is people tend to take one spoke, this is the way I experience love, and not notice or not value any of the other spokes. So if I am on the spoke of love as quality time, that means I need you to choose to spend time with me over any other option. And if you're telling me you love me, but you're out the door, I don't feel love from you. If you're showering me with gifts, but you're never around, I don't feel love from you that way either. The gift that I need is the gift of your presence. So what the shells are saying is, if we can get on the wheel, whatever spoke it might be, and we feel like we're starved for love because it's coming from these spokes we don't value, if we look around and start to value the other spokes, instead of starved for love, we'll discover we're surrounded by a feast. That is the value of looking at that wheel and seeing all the different aspects of love can have equal value in your life.
A whole new perspective on seashells. We've been just picking them up and placing them in our desk or wherever, you know, at home. And there are so many stories, and they come to life in Michelle's two books, Ocean Oracle and Ocean Wisdom. Get all the information at our website, oceanoracle.com. Reading Ocean Wisdom, you talk about a connection between seashells and crystals. Not aware of that. Talk about
that.
Yes.
Okay. So there are many people who work with crystals from the mineral kingdom, from the earth element. And they see the benefit for mind, body, and spirit.
Yes.
Seashells are crystals from the animal kingdom. Every shell is made by an animal. And from the water element. But they're wonderful companions to those other crystals. They also benefit mind, body, and spirit. So in Ocean Wisdom, we discuss the chakras, the energy centers, and how shells can benefit you at the level of each. For instance, we talked about the cowrie, the shell of faith. It's the womb that can nurture you. And therefore, when you're going through these healing processes with the different energy centers, there is a guided meditation, which is the last piece of Ocean Wisdom.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that is using these animals that are on the back of the Ocean Wisdom. So that as you walk into the ocean at the level of each chakra, a different being comes to work with you. And the cowrie is the first thing that shows up in order to nurture you through this entire rebirthing process. The shells, if people will see them as crystals, there are 100,000 different species of shells in the world. They find new ones all the time. So think of all the benefits that are being overlooked with these beings that are so desirous of helping us, navigate through life.
Well,
I wanted to mention the chamber nautilus.
Oh, I like that.
So we talked about the octopus. This will really show you the connection to the octopus because this is what the animal looks like. See all the tentacles?
Oh, yes.
So the chamber nautilus still has a shell. And if you cut the shell in half, you'll see why it's called chamber nautilus. You can see all these chambers. So the animal is living in this final chamber, but it uses these back chambers to fill with fluid, and that's what makes it sink in the ocean. And then there's a notch going through each of these back chambers that allows the animal to send a tube. And therefore, it can send pressurized gas to expel the fluid, and it will rise in the ocean. So altering the volume of gas and fluid, it controls its buoyancy. Now, Jules Verne wrote 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. People may know about that book.
Oh, yes.
Captain Nemo's submarine was called the Nautilus. That's why. This is the principle of buoyancy from the Nautilus. There's an atomic submarine called the Nautilus. So that's another way they've interacted with us throughout history, through the science. And very importantly, I wanted to tell you about these. These are cone shells. Because anyone who's swimming in the ocean,
yep, yes.
I want to make sure when you see these, that you admire them from afar because they are deadly. This is called the textile cone. This is the geography cone. In fact, in some books, this is called the cigarette snail because you just have time to smoke a cigarette before you die.
Okay.
That's how deadly they are.
Wow.
But The beauty is these poisons that they inject, their teeth look like little harpoons in a single file. And you wouldn't think a snail could eat a fish. However, if that fish were stunned by these poisons, here you see the cone with its harpoon sticking out.
Oh, yes.
And here you see the cone, and here's its mouth swallowing a fish.
It's exactly what it's doing.
So fish are vertebrates, so are we. There are cases of fatality to humans from these cones. But science discovered if you remove the lethal component, these are cocktails of proteins, these poisons, it turns out they're medicinal. The geography cone, the cigarette snail, what they first learned is if you take out the killing part, then you've got a paralyzing poison that's medicinal for people with tremors because the paralyzing action counteracts the shaking of the tremor.
Okay.
Now, when I wrote Ocean Wisdom, there was a cone called the magus. And you have to hear about this because the magus cone, in its cocktail, they all have different cocktails. Scientists were able to find a painkiller 1,000 times more powerful than morphine at killing pain. And it's not addictive. So the amount that you take of morphine keeps increasing as you are trying to get rid of your pain. This is 1,000 times more powerful. And that little amount you take stays the same week after week. Now, it's not something you're going to find in a pharmacy. This was injected into the spine of patients in hospitals who had cancer and AIDS. But the master teaching connected to the cones is judgment, because if we had tried to eradicate these deadly animals, we would have wiped out a pharmacy.
Oh, yes.
The thing that we're judging as a poison can be a medicine.
Amazing. This is just such a fascinating conversation. And we've got a couple of minutes left. I want to go back and sort of recap what we've talked about. Ocean Oracle, it's more like a box set that we talked about. Give us the overview on
Yes.
that again. And all of this information available wherever books are sold or at Michelle's website. As we wrap up, Ocean Oracle, recap for us what all's there. Because this is a
Okay.
fun and knowledgeable thing to do.
Thank you. Ocean Oracle, first of all, there's posters. There's two of these. So you get 200 shells, bird's eye view. When you're using that view to see what gets your attention, there's a card deck of 200 shells. And these are the cards that you'd find in the deck. Once you have your arrangement of the cards, you turn them over, the meanings are on the back. But if you say, why does it mean this? That's where the companion book comes in. It will give you the derivation of these meanings, which either come from the behavior of the animals, how they've interacted with us throughout history, you saw some examples, or just the name and appearance or the anatomy of the animal. And based on that, you can find something unique about each. And then it will give you your hidden thoughts and feelings that may be impacting your life in a way that's limiting you now. It may have served you at one point, but it's not working now, and that's why it wants to get your attention.
And that's Ocean Oracle. And this could help you. I talked in the beginning about actually something that would benefit your life and you can change your life with this knowledge. That's Ocean Oracle. I understand you teach classes online too. So if somebody's thinking, I wonder where she is and I wonder how I could connect with her to learn more. Well, you got the books, first of all, but you've got classes. Explain how the classes work.
So the classes, what I love about it is now that it's online, I can show videos. So in the books, you're seeing the pictures of the shells. In the classes, I can show you the animals. I can show you pictures. I can show you videos. I'll tell you, one student said to me, she never expected in a million years what she learned in class. And she felt like she met herself for the first time in the class.
Interesting. That's just amazing. And you've got free classes too. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, because during the pandemic, I wanted to offer something for people who are confined to their homes. And I thought, here's a way you can interact with nature. So on my website, on the homepage, there are free classes which will show you, first of all, how I even discovered this language. But secondly, the second class is about the octopus. I definitely want people to know about
that.
Oh,
yeah, I like that.
And it will also tell you about my own experiences initially doing readings and how transformative they were. When I first did a reading, I was a scientist and I thought, I don't even know if this is going to work. And the degree to which it worked shocked me. But that's why I've now been doing this for 40 years. I never turned back.
That's just amazing. And I wish we had more time and hopefully we can do this again. There's so much information there that Michelle will share with you. The website is oceanoracle.com. You've got the two books. You've got the one with the all with the cards, the full set there. All of us of it and free lessons, all of us you'll find on our website, oceanoracle.com. Michelle, as we wrap things up, any final takeaway? It's sort of hard to summarize all that you've said because you've given us so much information in the past few minutes. Just sort of wrap it up for us. What's the takeaway? What do you hope people who really were oblivious to shells, they were nice, but they didn't know the real meaning, what should they take away?
Well, as my name says, I get to be a shell, which I love. And as an ambassador for my seashell partners, I would like people to realize that teachers don't always come in human bodies. So when you're looking at nature, whether it be crystals or plants or flowers or animals, realize that Mother Nature has so much to teach us if we are willing to listen.
That's very simple, and that sort of sums up everything. I mean, all of this information, probably for most of us that have been listening, it's brand new information, and this and so much more at Michelle's website, oceanoracle.com. I'd like to thank Authors Perspective Press for arranging our conversation today. Authors Perspective Press is a forward-thinking hybrid publishing company at the nexus of innovation, strategy, dedicated to guiding authors through the intricate landscape of publishing and marketing, authorsperspectivepress.com. I thank them for introducing the two of us and being able to spend some time together. Hopefully we can do this again. I love what you're talking about. If you just heard the audio of this, go to YouTube, check out the video. You'll see all the pictures and examples that Michelle has. The books are so beautifully illustrated as well. This has been a fun conversation today. Michelle, thank you for joining us on the program.
I thank you so much for this opportunity.
It has been.
And seashell blessings to everyone.
Okay. I love that. What a fascinating program this has been. A conversation. We take something that we see all the time and we don't really give it much thought. Well, we'll give it some thought in the future as we know all this information from Michelle. Michelle Hansen, our guest. Her website is oceanoracle.com. Of course, all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.